Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's this morning. I'm happy to be here to lead you in worship and to worship with you and to go look to God for the things that only God can do for us. This Sunday is an interesting follow-up, just having had examination a couple weeks ago. We learn from the Catechism that Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. And we see him functioning in all of the lessons for today. This morning, we particularly focus on Jesus being our high priest and the fact that he serves us by praying for us, he sacrificed himself for us, and he still lives to intercede for us. So we ask that God bless us to help us better understand Jesus, our high priest, today. Very important that we have a high priest, or we would have no business singing our first opening hymn for this morning. We are asking God to draw us to himself, a terrifying concept if we were not loved and forgiven by God through Jesus. We confidently open worship this morning by singing together hymn 170. Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, was taken up in glory and intercedes for us at your right hand. Through your loving and abiding word, give us hearts to know him and faith to follow where he has gone, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Very shortly after his ascension, Jesus didn't take a break. Instead, he continued to serve his people and his church as their prophet, as he sent and established men of God who would serve his people with the word. The ascended Savior still serves his church today. God continues to do that today by providing pastors and teachers and other ministers to serve his people. The first lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 1. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field, in their language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson will be the basis for my sermon this morning. Maybe just a couple of notes before this lesson. We're talking about the Old Testament priesthood, which God established through the tribe of Levi. The Levites were to serve in this capacity. Aaron and his sons were the priests, the line of the priests. And then we run into Melchizedek, a man who was serving people in the name of the Lord with the good news of the Lord. He too was a priest, but not in the line of Aaron. This lesson picks up on that and shows us that Jesus is a high priest, not one of Aaron's sons, not a human priest, a weak and sinful priest. Jesus is far superior. We'll explore those thoughts more in the sermon for this morning. The second lesson is recorded in Hebrews chapter 7. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priests, he does not need to sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. This is the word of the Lord. Stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17. In this lesson, Jesus, the great high priest, prays for his disciples. He prays for his church, our guarantee that he is praying for you today as well. Jesus prayed, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world. I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 359. In the name of Jesus, your personal great high priest. I needed to have some work done. I had three issues. The first, we had some ants that were wreaking havoc on the back patio. We had some gophers, moles, or voles, whatever they are. I don't know. I can't see them. And if I could find them, I would get them all. They're making these little mounds, little hard-packed patches of dirt, destroying the lawn. So I needed those taken care of. And then on the side of our house, we had little mud tracks or little mud packs. And I don't know what's causing those, termites, bees, whatever. But we needed that taken care of. So what do? You call someone. I looked up. I reviewed on Yelp a little bit. Didn't do Angie's List because I'm not a member. And then I found a service. They had a good reputation, long-standing in the community, and I thought, go with the little guy. And so I called and I said, these are my three issues. I have ants, gophers, moles, voles, and some mud packs on the side of my house. And so they sent out a guy to come to our house, very nice young man, clean cut, the whole deal. And we're going through this, and he said, well, I can spray for your ants, and that won't be a problem. 30-day guarantee, if they come back, I'll come back and take care of that for you. But then he kind of hung his head, and he said, I don't know why they sent me to your house, because I have no idea what's going on in your lawn, and I don't know how to take care of these varmint for you. Well, okay. And then he said, and we don't do termite inspections. So what kind of Yelp review do you think this service deserves? Well, they met three of my needs, right? They took care of my ants, 30-day guarantee. That's pretty good. But I took off of work, and they could not take care of my gophers, moles, voles, whatever they are. And they had to hire out a termite inspection. And it's been about a week and a half, and they have not followed up on the termite inspection, nor has the gopher guy been out to my house. So now what kind of review do they deserve on Yelp or Angie's List or just word of mouth? If they had Angie's List, Yelp, other online reviews, what kind of review do you think Aaron and Sons, the high priest company, what kind of reviews do you think they would get from the people? What was their job? Their job was to serve the people, pray for the people, sacrifice for the people, bring the people to the Lord. And how do you think they did? I think most of the people would say, well, they did pretty well. They were faithful. They would get high marks for being faithful. They did what they were supposed to do. They would pray for the people. You bring your bull in, and they would sacrifice your bull or your doves or whatever you brought in. Maybe it was your grain offering, and they would take that, and they would offer it to the Lord. They would pray for you. They would point you to the Lord, but then you would leave and I'm still sinful. What did Aaron really just do for me other than kill my bull, kill my animals, accept my grain sacrifice? I'm still a sinful man. I still have some sinfulness to deal with. I still have guilt and shame to deal with. What kind of review do you think Aaron and Sons would get? The writer to the Hebrews says, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. Unlike the other high priests, this one does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. Did Aaron and his sons faithfully serve the people? Of course they did. Every day they served people in the temple. The problem was nothing really changed when the people went home. Because Aaron and Sons were sinful people serving sinful people. Aaron and Sons, they had something to offer. It was a promise. Something better is coming. A great high priest is coming. Someone who can actually take away your sins. Someone who can actually do something because of your sinfulness and because of your guilt. Death prevented them, these priests, from continuing in office. Aaron sacrificed for his own sin. Yes, they were faithful, but it was weak. It couldn't take care of their sinfulness. It couldn't take care of their uselessness. And in that sense, Aaron and his sons and their priesthood was also useless. The writer to the Hebrews has an interesting question for us to ponder about the law and the priesthood. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of the law it was given to the people, why was there need for another priest to come in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? Answer, because Aaron and his sons were sinful. They could not deliver what the people needed. And so what kind of Yelp review would they get? Are these faithful men? Yeah, they're faithful men. Are they serving the people? Yes, they're serving. Are they praying for the people? Yes. But they cannot take care of the need that the people have. They're simply unqualified to serve them. They need another great high priest to come. So what about you and me? Can we give to God what Aaron and sons were not able to give to God? Can we do for ourselves what Aaron and sons were not able to do for the people? I think we're wired to think we can, and we're wired to try, and we sure like to think that way, and we sure like to offer these things up to God as if we can be our own high priest, and we say, serve you? Yeah, I'll serve you, God. What do you want me to do? You know, tell me to do it, and I'll go do it. You want me to pray? Yeah, I'll pray. I'll pray all the time. I'll pray for whatever you want me to pray for. You want me to pray like Jesus prayed? I'll pray like Jesus prayed. Only problem is we forget that just as the Old Testament law and the priesthood was useless and weak, we are weak and useless on our own. Because anywhere in Scripture does it say that we can just go to God and pray anytime we want on our own? No, we can't. Go back a couple weeks. Sin barrier. There is a sin barrier between us and God. And there is nothing we can do. You cannot pray that sin barrier away. You cannot work that sin barrier away. You cannot beg that sin barrier away. We are weak on our own because we are sinful and we can't do it. So we think sacrifice. That's what God wants, right? I will sacrifice for God. You know, just tell me what you want me to give to you, God, and I'll do it. God says, okay, I want your whole head, heart, and I want your hands. Always and only, I want you to serve me. That's all I want you to do. That's a problem. God wants our heads, undivided thoughts, minds with him, always and only, perfectly, all the time. And God wants your heart, undivided love for him. How long does that last? Because I really like these friends. And I know that I have to give part of my mind away and part of my heart away to be with these people, but I like them. And I know that I divide my loyalty between God and what we do when we're together, but that's just what I want to do. I know God wants me to trust him with my whole heart, but I like my money too. I know God wants me to serve him with my hands, but I like to do things that are sinful. And I'm honest with God. That's what I do. We are weak. And any attempt we have to try to pray to God, to serve him, to sacrifice for him, it all falls short of what God wants. And so what would God's review be for us? If he would post a review of you online, and he would say, this is what they gave me. This is what they prayed to me. This is what they offered. This is what they sacrificed for me. This is what they did for me. Would it be good enough? No, because we are weak. And any of our efforts are useless. And weak and useless, they're not just euphemisms, are they? It's not just so that we have a better, easier way to talk about our sin, to talk about our shortcoming. It's the truth. Weak and useless means that we deserve nothing from God. We should be cut off for God forever because we have nothing to offer him. Useless means that there's nothing we can bring to the table. There's nothing that we can offer God, nothing we can sacrifice to him that is going to change anything. Which is why we get to thank God that there is a Yelp review out there, a better Yelp review. God gives us a review of his son, the great high priest, showing us that Jesus is the one who could bring it. And this would be God's review of Jesus. If you would look him up, he would say, Jesus, a priest uniquely qualified for the job. And then God would go on to describe why his son is. Well, it's because of what he lacks. And we think, Jesus lacks something? Yeah. Jesus is the perfect high priest because of what he lacks, because of what he brings, and because of what he promises. And only he can bring these things to us and bring these things to God. The writer to the Hebrews said, Jesus is one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. Aaron, a faithful priest, but he died. Why? Because he was sinful. He couldn't be what God wanted him to be. He couldn't be perfect. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. God opening him, why can we draw near to God? Because we have a great high priest. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. God promises his son comes perfect and sinless, without any weakness, without any of this uselessness of more laws and rules and regulations for us to try and follow. And God proved it to us, because he not only did his son live a perfect life for us in every way, but after his son died to pay for all of our sins, he rose again. And then at his ascension, one more guarantee. This man was perfect. He was sinless. Because of what he lacked, he's the perfect high priest for you, the perfect high priest for me. And then what did Jesus bring? Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sin of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. He offered himself on a cross for you, once for all. For any and every sin that is out there, Jesus died for it. No matter how you feel about it, no matter how many times you want to go back and revisit it, no matter how many times Satan takes you back there and he helps you revisit it, is there anything you have ever done, anything you've ever thought, any loyalty you've ever shared, anything you've ever done with your hands that is outside of this promise? Absolutely not. Jesus sacrificed himself once for all sin of all time, and that promise is true for you. And that promise is true for me. Jesus, uniquely qualified because he had no sin, and he brings it to the table for you. He brings you perfection because you can't give it to God. Jesus did it for you. It's because of what he's lacking. He has no sin, and he takes away your sin and your guilt too. The writer to the Hebrews is not done comforting us yet today. Jesus is uniquely qualified because of what he and he alone can promise. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. No matter what we think, no matter what we doubt, no matter what is troubling you today, no matter what is stressing your faith today, Jesus, your great high priest, is interceding for you. That's his job. That's just what he does. And he doesn't take a break. And he doesn't get tired. And he is not weak. And he is not useless. He is always interceding for you. So that when you take whatever it is that is heavy on your heart, whether you failed God in your mind, with your heart, or with your hands, you take that to God, and Jesus has to take it to the Father and says, I died for this sin. This child is forgiven and will be forever. That is why Jesus, and only Jesus, is able to save you completely. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So draw near to God through Jesus, your high priest. He comes with a warranty, doesn't it? It comes with a promise that is never going away, that is never going to be broken. So go and grab onto that. And we have so many examples in Scripture, don't we, of people who did that? Very recently, we've talked about Peter. Peter needed a high priest. Peter tried to do it on his own, and he couldn't. Jesus interceded for Peter, loved Peter, and forgave Peter. You think James and John, they were frustrated by their ministry. They were angry. They were upset because people weren't following Jesus. And they said, God, let's just destroy these people and go find other people who will believe. Jesus interceded for them and loved them and forgave them. There is no sin, there is no guilt outside of God's promise that Jesus is interceding for you and he is able to save you completely. So go and post your reviews for people to see. You know, what kind of review I'm going to give to the pest control company, that doesn't really matter. And I probably won't even give one. That's just how it goes. I'm going to call someone else. It doesn't matter what kind of review Aaron and Sons are going to get because we don't hope in Aaron and Sons. We don't hope in any law. We hope in Jesus, our great high priest. Post a review and share with somebody what God did for you. How Jesus, your high priest, interceded for you. How he comforted you. How he loves you. How he forgives you. How he sustains you in a way that only he can. Put that out there for everybody to see. Because Jesus, your great high priest, is uniquely qualified for the job. And he lives to pray for you. And he lives to serve you. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God that is yours through Jesus, your great high priest, may it be in your heads and treasured in your hearts and lived out with your hands and your lives to your God's glory. Amen. Let us publicly confess our faith, strengthen and encourage one another, and witness our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we gather the offering at this time. In our prayer of the church this morning, we will ask our ascended great high priest to remember our brothers and sisters with specific needs. We've been asked to remember Mary Bartelt, who underwent a successful back surgery and is at home recovering. We've been asked to remember Al Weigel, whose brother Jerry passed away this last week. Mike Monti, who is hospitalized with a bacterial infection that is affecting his heart. And we will again remember our brother Raleigh Nisterchuk and his wife Elaine as Raleigh continues in hospice care. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, great champion of our salvation, we praise you for ascending to heaven after your stunning victory over sin, Satan, and the grave. We praise you for completing your Father's rescue plan and for receiving him from all authority in heaven and on earth. Assure us each day that because you live and reign, our sins are forgiven, life is worth living, and death holds no terrors over us. Lord Jesus, living head of the church, we praise you for gathering us around your good news to be joined to you and united with one another. We praise you for the many dedicated servants of the word who proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to people from all nations and also to us. Equip us to be instruments of your peace in our time and place. Open our mouths to speak of your good news and change our lives so that we reflect the beauty of the teachings of God our Savior in everything we say and do. Lord Jesus, mighty judge of the universe, we praise you for your promise that you will return to our world, not as a humble servant, but in full majesty to take us to live with you. We praise you for the certainty of your promises and the justice of your judgment. Prepare us for the day when you will come again. Give us hearts that trust you more fully, hands eager to serve, ears opened to the music of your gospel, and lips to speak the truth in love. Keep us devoted to our common tasks in this life, yet keep our minds on things above, where our life is hidden with you, so that when you appear, we too will appear with you in glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for granting Mary a successful surgery. We ask that you would bless those who care for her. We ask that you grant success to their efforts, and that if it is your will, that you bring about a full and speedy recovery. We ask that you would ease her pain and give her comfort, not only of body, but also comfort of soul. Dear Heavenly Father, it is not easy to lose loved ones. So we pray for the family of Jerry Weigel, whom you have taken to yourself by death. We ask that you be with them, especially our brother Al, and comfort them in their sorrow with your sure promises of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. We ask that you would continue to be with Mike Monti, and that if it is your will, that you would bring him healing. We ask that you relieve his distress, strengthen his faith, and grant him a recovery that is according to your will. We ask that you would use this as a time to bring him and his wife and his family together, to rally together around you and your promises that you are with us always. Finally, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to comfort our brother Raleigh Nisterchuk. As he draws near to the end, we ask that you would draw him near to you. We thank you that you, his great high priest, have been faithful to every promise you have made to him. When the day and the time is right, we ask that you give him rest from this life, rest with you. Lord Jesus, we ask that you hear us, for you have ascended to intercede before the throne of the Father for us. Amen. Please stand as we prepare to make our preparations to receive the sacrament this morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Holy, holy.
God Almighty,
who through Jesus Christ, your eternal Word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all of your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
God to bless the word we have heard and the supper we have received with the Song of Simeon on page 15. Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Good morning again and welcome to you all. Welcome to our worship guests. It's nice that we were able to share the love of Jesus with you today. We look forward to getting to know you better and hopefully develop a continuing relationship with you. About the only announcement I want to talk about today is our open forum that we have today. You know that angel with the flaming sword that kept Adam and Eve out of the garden? We thought about getting him to keep everybody here for the meeting, but he was busy today. So instead, how about this? God, who has loved you with an eternal love, has entrusted you with this ministry. Let's get together today for an hour to talk about it during the Bible study hour. So open forum meeting will start as close to 9:30 as possible. We still have plenty of time for fellowship. You can get some coffee. You can go take care of what you need to take care of. And then we'll meet back in here at 9:30 for that open forum meeting. That's what I have to share with you today. May Jesus bless you today. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out.